First of all, I'm going to have to run out right after Mincha today because I have to go to Manhattan again today. So no 10-minute halacha shir, unless we finish this early, then maybe do that again. But so I'm not going to be here after Mincha today. I wanted to spend a day. I'm not yet sure how exactly it's going to work out, but I wanted to spend a day going through the sugya of what makes a kasher and pasul lulav. I guess what we're going to try to do is go through the Gemara, and as we go through the Gemara, just point out what the basic shitos in Rishonim and Achronim are, and then point out what halach lemaisa, what's important to know when it comes to practically buying a lulav and esrog. So if you take a look, we'll start, I guess, from the bottom of Lamed Alvin Beis. We'll just go through the Gemara. So it says the Gemara, Niktam Rosha, the Mishnah had said that if the top of the lulav is chopped off, it is pasul. Omar Rav Huna lo shanu ela niktam. That's only true if it's chopped off, if it's actually cut. Aval nistak kosher. But if it's cracked, and Rashi says, what does cracked mean? Nistaku Rashi Ya'alim, the tops of the leaves are cracked, then it's kosher, as long as it's not chopped off. So frek the Gemara, cracked leaves are kosher. Vinista kosher v'atanya lulav kafuf kavutz saduk akum dom lamagul pasul. The following list of lulavim are pasul, and obviously all the things on the list are going to be important to us, but right now we're focused on saduk. The following list of lulavim are pasul: that which is kafuf, which l'chora means bent over; kavutz, which means that it's thorny; saduk means cracked. Akum doma lamagal means very, very much bent over. That it's very much bent over, not just a little bit bent. So obviously, the first question that you're going to have to deal with when it comes to this brisa is what's the difference between kafuf on the one hand and akum on the other hand? Meaning, isn't akum that's not doma lamagal? Doma lamagal means it's a very pronounced bend in the lulav. So what if it were akum that's not doma lamagal? What if it was just bent a little bit? Would that by definition be kafuf? Or in which case, akum doma lamagal is totally unnecessary. So you can't say that by definition is kafuf. Kafuf and akum doma lamagal must therefore mean two separate things. Right? They must, and how the Rishonim deal with that is also an interesting discussion. But we're going to take one at a time. But first the Gemara says, wait a second, is sadu kasher or is it pasul? On the one hand, you told me cut off on the top is pasul, saduk, when it's cracked, it's kasher. On the other hand, we have a brisa that amongst the psulim, it lists cracked. So says the Gemara, charos pasul, domel charos kasher, says the Gemara, amrav papa, da avid kehimnik. That if it's made like a hemnik, whatever that is, then it's going to be pasul. So not all cracks are pasul. Cracked a little bit is pasul, not all cracks are pasul. Now let's go to the two dots. We'll read to the two dots and then we'll go back. Akum doma lamagal, if it's bent doma lamagal in a way that's like a sickle, which is completely curved, like such, right? Like this picture over here, where it's completely bent out of shape, right? If it's akum doma lamagal, amarava lo amran elo lefanav. That's only when it's bent in the front. Avali achrav, but when it's bent in the back, briasehu. That's normal. That's a normal way for it to grow. And if it's bent off to the side, that's as if it's bent to the front, which would mean that it's bad. Some say no, the studin is good. And then last line, Rava says a lulav that concludes, that meets up with one leaf, is considered to be a balmum and is therefore pasul, meaning. Rashi says the salik b'charhutza means shekal alav mitzad echad, that it has a spine like a lulav is supposed to have, and instead of having leaves on both sides of the spine, only has leaves on one side of the spine. That's going to be pasul. So that was a mouthful. There were tons and tons of different psulim that we dealt with in that small piece of Gemara. So let's start with the beginning. The very first thing we said was lulav haniktam, was that if it's niktam rosho, it's going to be pasul. The Tur quotes three shitos in what niktam rosho is. The Tur in Simin Tafresh Mem Hei, where all of these halachos that we're going to do today are in Simin Tafresh Mem Hei, quotes three shitos. He quotes the Ravid that niktamu me ha'alin shabarosho at shechaser ma'at min ashidra, that the leaves that come out of the top of the lulav are cut so severely that you've even removed a piece of the spine of the lulav. Now, the way a lulav goes is the spine goes to a certain point until it splits out into leaves. There are leaves that go up along the spine, but then the spine itself splits out into leaves. So when you say that it's cut, that niktam rosho means it has to be cut very severely. to the point that the spine is affected as well. That's the Ravid. Bali Iter writes that not the Torah quotes the Bali Iter Kasav Lo Sheniknemu Ktsas Mea Alin Elyonim El Sheniknemu Shlosha Alin Elyonim Pirish Ad Hashidra Velo Naga B'Shidra, that the three middle center leaves, the three center highest leaves, are cut not to the point that the spine is also cut, but they're cut all the way down to the spine. That's niktab. And then he says, "V'adon yavi arashal piresh deberov ketimas ha'alin elyonim mifsal," that if most of the upper leaves are cut, then it's pasul. Now, he doesn't say how much of the leaves, all the way down to the spine. He just says that it should be most of the top leaves. If it's cut, then it's pasul. He doesn't say within the rush, how far down is it going to be pasul? So Beis Yosef writes that the tour does not paskin like the Rush, that Rosho means Rov Alin, because the Rush himself thinks that Rosho to mean Rov Alin, most of the leaves, is a bit of a dochak. So rather the tour paskins like what the Rush then changes his mind to, what the Rush writes at the end, that Rosho just means the Shnei Alin Emtsa'iyim, the two middle leaves, and only if both of those are cut, then it's going to be pasul. When he says rov, when the Torah says rov, he's referring to the sheer hakatima, how much they have to be cut. They have to be cut rubo, because if it's not rov cut, then it's not going to be considered cut at all. So that's how the Beis Yosef understands the Torah. The Bach thinks, no, it's not only the two middle leaves, it's Rov Alin Elyonim. All of the upper leaves, the majority of the upper leaves would have to be cut. That's what Rov is referring to. Bottom line, you have all these Shittos and Rishonim, none of them seem to say what we would always assume Niktam Rosho means, which is just the top leaf, the leaf that reaches the very tippy top, the middle center, you know, leaf that goes all the way up, is cut off a little bit. That's what I would have assumed Niktam Rosho means. It doesn't have to be cut a lot down to the Shidra, nor does it have to be multiple leaves, just the very top. That's what I would have assumed. What does Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Vav, Tafresh Memhei Siv Vav, Niktam Rosho, Hainu Sheniktamu Rov Ha'alin Ha'elyonim. Majority of the upper leaves are cut, Pasul. So the Chara, it's the way the Beis Yosef explained the Torah, B'Shem the Rash. That if it's the Rov Ha'alin Ha'elyonim, the Rov is referring to the shear of the ketima. The Gra, however, understands the Shulchan Aruch that Rov Alin Elyonim is not the shear of ketima, but the majority of the leaves, right? That it's the majority of the leaves, not just how far down it's supposed to be cut. The Rama writes, and this is obviously critical for us, the imniktam ha'ala ha'elyon ha'emsai sha'al hashidra pasul. That's where we get our halacha. Seems like none of the Rishonim. The Rama holds that if just the middle, top leaf, that one alone is niktam, that's going to be pasul. Frek the Taz on the Rama, the appropriate language for the Rama to use in that situation should have been v'yesh omrim. I mean, the Rama's clearly arguing on everything that was just quoted. We just said the Torah quoted a whole bunch of shittos, and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like, we're not sure exactly which shita, but paskin like one of those shittos that we had previously quoted. And then Rama is introducing a brand new idea. So if you can introduce a brand new idea, say v'yesh omrim. So that's the Taz. Why doesn't the Rama say v'yesh omrim? So he says it could be the Rama holds that if rov of the alin ha'elyonim are cut, even if the middle one is not cut, that's also going to be a psul. And he's just being mosif that in addition to rov, there's one that's so critical that it's ki'ilu rov are cut. And that's the middle top one. That's the one that's going to be so critical that it's the same as having rov being cut. Prima Gadim in Mishpat Zav writes that if the lulav reaches, the top of the lulav has three even leaves that reach all the way to the top, all of them are called the Rosh HaLulav. And if two out of them are cut, then it's going to be pasul. That's the Mechaber Shita. And the Rama is speaking about where a different mitzvah is. Not where it comes to a point at three leaves, but where it comes to a point with one leaf. and then that leaf itself is going to be the pasul, the one that pasuls it. But how it plays out in halacha, this is one of those cases where how it plays out in halacha does not really seem to really match how it plays out in the Rishonim. You can read the Rishonim, you don't find much discussion in the Rishonim about one leaf being cut. Niktam Rosha, we generally have Lishonos like Rov being used. How much of that middle leaf has to be cut for it to be a problem, according to the Ramah? So the Ramah doesn't say. But the Gra explains that he thinks that it's Bekal Shehu. Because the Ramah doesn't say, it must be even Bekal Shehu, even if it's just slightly cut. Not all the Achronim agree with that. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Chayyadim say, we're not sure. We're not sure exactly what the shear is. And they said, B'makom Adchak, maybe you could be makel on a lulav that is kol shuhu cut, that's cut just a very tiny bit, because who said that it's a kol shuhu? The Ramah never said that it's a kol shuhu. So exactly what the shear is also not abundantly clear. Now, why is Niktam Rosho pasul? What's the psul of Niktam Rosho? So the Mishnah Brura in Tafresh Mem Hei, Sivkot Chav Zayin, writes that the reason Niktam is pasul is because of it's a din hidur. It's not hadar if it's Niktam Rosho. And the Shaar Tzion says that's the opinion of Rashi on Chav Tes Amud Beis, and that's the opinion of many other poskim. The Or Sameach in Parakhas Vilchas Lulav writes that it's psul mishum hadar and also psul of Lekicha Tama. It's also psul of Lekicha Tama, that you need to take complete minim for the lulav. He quotes in this sefer Sukkas Chayim, which I think must have mentioned at some point early in the year, two volumes on all of Hilchos Sukkah. He quotes in the Sefer Sukkos Chaim from the Tanya Rabasi that Niktam is pasul because it's a balmum. That the psul of Niktam is a psul of a balmum. So the my nafkamina, what the reason is. So nafkamina might be in the shear of Ketima. Because if you hold it to Din Hadar or Din Balmum, so it's very likely that it's only going to be a psul and Hadar or Balmum if you notice it. If it's something that's easily noticeable, you look at it and you say, ah, that's Niktam Rosho. That's not beautiful, and that's a Balmum. But if it's Psul Lekicha Tama, it may not have to be noticeable. It's like the Psul Chaser in Esrog. It doesn't have to be a noticeable Chaser. Even a very minor one. So even a very minor cut would be a problem. That's what it would seem. That's what it would seem to be. It would seem to be enough community to know these reasons. Yeah. That might be another nefkamina, right? Those things that are only mishum hidur, right? So that might only be a psul for day one, but those things that are chaser might be a psul. Now, lekachtem, lekichatama, is probably also only day one, I think. Right? But, yeah?
That it's a balmum?
He quotes the Tanya Rabasi in Hilchos Lulav. The Kichatam because the Yor Sameach in Hilchos Lulav Perches, the Yor Sameach. Now, what he discusses also over here is what if the Niktam is in a way that you can't see it unless you look in a magnifying glass? And then you'll see, oh, it's Taka missing something over there. Is that going to be a problem? So in general, you should know the Halacha does not require us to recognize microscopic things, you know, to see things that are not visible to the naked eye, that are not visible to the naked eye. Meaning, for instance, we're not allowed to eat bugs, but if the bug is so microscopic, it's so tiny that the human eye can't see it, but you put it under a microscope, you can see it. So that would not be an isra. Otherwise, it would be asr to breathe. There are all sorts of organisms everywhere. I mean, it's asr, it would be asr to do anything. It would be asr to put your hand to your mouth, and you could find anything under a microscope. There are all sorts of things. So that doesn't count as bugs, right? It only counts as a bug if it's something that's visible. Some poskim, when they look at at maros of nida, when they look at a stain on a garment or something, they'll look with a loop. To look with a magnifying glass to see if it's really dam or if it's not dam. So one could question whether that's at all necessary. If it's something that you can only tell is dam by looking with a magnifying glass, so then is that really, does the halacha require that you do that? Maybe you have the halachic right to assume that it's not dam. I just recently brought a mara to a different rabbi because I wasn't comfortable with it. So he took out a loop and he started looking at it. He goes, look through the loop, you'll see it's vaday dam. I looked through. I said, I was pretty sure it was Vade Dam before I looked through the loop, but like, I don't think that would convince me to look through in a magnifying glass, because I don't think in general the halacha doesn't require that. Now, based on the Gra though, that Niktam Rosh HaElyon means even a Kol Shehu is possible. So what's the shear of a Kol Shehu? So by an Esrog, where a Shinrei Mare Berosh Chotmo is gonna passel an Esrog, so Magen Avraham writes in Tafresh Mem Ches Sifkat on Tes Zayin in the name of the Mabit, that's only if it's Nira La'ayin Kisha Ochso Biyado, if it's visible when you hold it in your hand, meaning not even like this, you just, you know, you hold it at a healthy distance, that's the psul. But if it's not Nira La'ayin, because it's so tiny and you have to really look and gaze intently at it in order to see anything, then it's not going to passel, because it's because if the psul is a psul of hadar, it doesn't make it less hadar when you have to sit there staring at it the whole time. I mean, even if it is visible to the naked eye, but hadar is only going to be a problem if you can really see it. But if it's something that you have to sit there and staring and gazing, so that's not going to be a psul of hadar. That's what Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat Memvav as well. Now, the Prima Gadim, the Sharetzin quotes from the Prima Gadim, Sharetzin Sifkat Memtes, just adds that by the Chotam of the Esrog it's different, because by the Chotam of the Esrog, why are we more machmir about the Chotam of the Esrog than the rest of the Esrog? We can get to this when we discuss Esrog, I guess. But why are we more machmir about the top part of the Esrog than we are about the rest of the Esrog? Because that's the part that's most visible. So if you can have something on the Chotam of the Esrog that's barely visible, so that's why it's not going to be a problem. The only reason we have Chumras on the Chotam of the Esrog is because that's what you see. But if you can't see it, so mail, it's not going to be a problem. So by Niktam Rosh HaVelulav L'chor, the din is the same. That if the psul is Misham Hadar, it's not going to passel if you have to sit there staring at it. And that's what the Magen Avraham paskens, Sifkat and Zayin as well. That by the psul of an Esrog, since it's of the Lulav, if it's a din in Hadar, the way that the Mishnah Berurah understands, that it's a din of Hadar, so then it's not going to passel if it's very, very minuscule. However, the Prima Gadim writes as follows. Lashon of the Prima Gadim, Mish Psal Zav, Sifkat and Vav, Yeshli Zar Bazatuva Ba'ala Emtsai La'ayin Bey, Imlo Niktam Ha'ala Kol Shehu V'yach La'hakar Zeh K'shema'ayin Ba. Uses the word ma'ayin twice in one sentence. So what's he telling you? You have to be very, very careful to look at it super carefully to see if there's a Kol Shehu missing. So Prima Gadim seems to assume that the psul is not because of Hadar. If it was because of Hadar, you wouldn't have to look so carefully. So the fact that you have to look so carefully must be it's because of Lekicha Tama. So that nafkamina that we said before is in fact the Machlokas Achronim. It's Machlokas Magen Avraham and Prima Gadim. Whether the Kol Shehu is really a Kol Shehu that's so tiny that you can barely see, or Kol Shehu just means the smallest, easily visible part. Yeah. This is assuming within the Gra. Assuming within the Gra that it's Kol Shehu. What does Kol Shehu mean? Right. Can you say that the Gra, when he says Kol Shehu, means that it's a din of it has to be the Kicha Tama? I mean, that has to be that even a Kol Shehu is going to pass.
Even a Kol Shehu, right? He's more machmir than even a Kol Shehu, right?
Yeah.
That's supposed to other Shomer of Harav or other people say that it has to be more than that, right?
Right. So but they're not sure what the Shear is. They know it's got to be more than. They think it's more than Kol Shehu. They just don't know what
right.
It is.
So we say that Machlok is also telling out what the Psul is.
It might be. The only question is the Gra himself might. This machlokas could be even within the Shita Sagra. Kol Shehu doesn't always mean Kol Shehu. L'mashal, a Kol Shehu of Chametz is Aser. Right? So there's a question, how are you ever allowed to drink water? As long as there's someone in the water supply by the ocean fishing with a piece of Chametz or whatever as his bait, so shouldn't it be a problem of some sort of Tarovas Chametz? It's a Mashehu, Mashehu, Mashehu. No, so there's some Mashehus that aren't even a Mashehu. It's so little a Mashehu that it doesn't even count as a Mashehu. So that's the question. What does the Grub mean by a Kol Shehu? Kol Shehu that, you know, the minimum amount that you can normally see, or a Kol Shehu that's even smaller than that? In the Sefer Sukkos Chayim, I'm going to stop saying the Sefer Sukkos Chayim. Everything I'm saying today is either from the Sefer Sukkos Chayim or from here, or from the Gemara. I skipped all the middle steps, you know, like the Rishonim, the Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch. I didn't skip it. When I learned Sukkah, I did it. I just didn't chazer it over last night. It's important not to skip that. You know, you're learning Sukkish. Really, it's a very unique opportunity to really go through La Halacha. But it's a shmuz for a different time. But he quotes from the Tshuvas Imre Kohen. I don't know who the Tshuvas Imre Kohen is, but he says as follows: Safek im halulav niktam berosho ve'inu nikar boshu niktam bevadai. Let's say you're not sure if it's niktam. It's a safek niktam rosho. So what do you assume? So if niktam is a psul daraisa, so maybe you should say that safek daraisa l'chumra. However, over here, it's not just a safek. Over here you have several sfekos. First of all, obviously, it might not be niktam at all. Second of all, ruba deruba of rishonim and achronim hold that it's not puzzle when it's just a tiny niktam, when it's so small that you're not even sure if it's niktam. You need rov ha'alin, rov, you know, there's the shitas ramah and the grow within the ramah, so the rov rishonim assume not that way. Also, niktam might only be, if it's niktam, rov arko shal'ala zeh, the rov of the length of the leaf all the way down might only be a problem in niktam. Forget about rov of the leaves. Even the leaf that's niktam might have to be rov of the way down in order for it to be a problem. And plus, you have the shita saravit, that only if part of the shidra is missing also, only then it's niktam. So b'makom safek, probably you could be, there's a lot of room to be makil by niktam, because there are so many shitos. That's where it's important to know, not just what it says in Ramah, but to know the background. To know that the rov rishonim assume not that way. And the rov rishonim have much easier standards. Right? So it helps in situations like that. The Ramah writes, the psul of niktam is dafka if you have another lulav. If you have no other lulav, you could even make a bracha on a lulav that's niktam rosho. So Magen Avraham disagrees. He says, lo dak, da Mordechai kasav kein ahadas dafka. The Mordechai only says that about ahadas. In the name of the Sefer Yoreim, and in the Sefer Yoreim, which the Mordechai, which is where it comes from, it says it beferish that only about a hadas, but of lulav that's niktam is pasul kuli alma. So where in the world did Ramah get this idea that you have a lulav that's niktam rosho? Don't worry, if you don't have another one, you can make a bracha on this one. Where does he get this idea? So the Taz writes that the Ramah must be somech that on the shitas of Rambam. The Rambam who holds that by all the psulim we're mevarich on them b'shas erchak. By all the psulim of lulav we can still make a bracha on them b'shas erchak. And that must be what the Rambam is assuming. However, it's not so pashut. The Rambam might just be assuming that his own shita with his own chumra, what niktam is, may not be the end all be all. Like we said before, there are so many other shitos of what niktam is. When you think you have a lulav that's niktam, you probably only have a lulav that's niktam according to the chumra of the Rambam. But maybe he holds that it's a chumrah. He holds mikra din. It needs to be rov alin. Maybe it needs to be rov of the way down. Whatever it is, it needs to be something much more. So it could very well be that that's why the Ramah says you can make a bracha on niktam. Practically speaking, in terms of niktam rosho, so in this book over here, he points out, just practically speaking, when you're looking at a lulav, if the tip of the lulav looks unnaturally flat, so it's likely it's because it was snipped. Right, tips of the lulav are normally not flat. If it's very flat, then likely it was snipped. Now, sometimes it will look flat, but there will be a lot of brown stuck in there. There will be a lot of brown on the top of the lulav, and the brown part is what looks flat. So that very often is not niktam. That is not a flat tip. That's the kora that got stuck might be flat. So very often, if you look carefully, you can actually see where the leaf goes and where the brown goes, and you'll be able to see that the leaf actually comes to a point, the brown just makes it look like it's flattening it out. Some people would say, okay, why don't you just remove the brown and then you'll be able to see if the leaf is actually flat or not. Problem with that is, if you remove the brown, you're very often going to passel the lulav. There's a way to do it. He says over here, he said there's a method of wetting the tip to remove the kora that could help to reveal the point. Never try peeling it off with your hands. When you try peeling it off with your hands, you're likely gonna split your lulav and you're gonna cause yourselves problems. That is niktam rosho. Now, this should not be confused with what we often call a kneppel. A kneppel is a lulav that it's ends with a a kneppel is a lulav where the top of the lulav is bent over. the top of the lulav is bent over, where it's not, doesn't go straight up, it's bent over. That's not the same as Niktam Rosho. That might look a little flatter also, because the leaves are bent over a little bit, but that's not the same as Niktam Rosho. Now, we'll get to a Knepel soon. Okay, so that's one. One was Niktam Rosho. Next issue, let's see. Nifritzu Olav we didn't get to in the Gemara. Nistak. I think Nistak is the most Nogel Lemaisa. Nistak, if it's cracked. So what did we say in our Gemara? We had a stira about Nistak, right? We said Nistak, first we said it's kosher, then we said it's possible. So we said, no, Nistak Kehemnik. If it's Kehemnik, it's possible. If it's not Kehemnik, it's kosher. So what's going on over here? So when it comes to Nistak, the Mechaber, Paskins like the Rambam, Perches HaLachadal, the Mechaber Tafresh Mem Hesef Gimel, Brias Olin Shalulav Kachi, Kishem Gedalim Gedalim Shnayim Shnayim Dvuka Migavan. Leaves of a lulav grow in a way where when they grow, they're in units of two that are connected on the back of the leaf. So it's like a folded over, it's like a double leaf. Vigav al shnei olin hu anikra tiyomes. And the back part on the two leaves is what we call the tiyomes. Meaning, it's a folded over leaf, but it's connected in the back. That connection is called the tiyomes. When we talk about nechlika tiyomes, we mean that connection is broken. And the two halves of the leaf can now be split, can now be pulled apart from each other. It's been split, or it is already pulled apart from each other. That's what we consider to be a lulav hanestak. Now, the Gemara said nistak, if it's not kehimnik, is kosher. However, nistak is kosher only within reason. If it's nistak that's not kehemnek is kosher, only if it's not nistak in a very severe kind of way. If it's nistak in a very severe kind of way, then it's going to be possible. The Rama writes, Yesh mefarshim lomar, dim nechla ka'ola ha'elyona amsai sha'ala shidra, ad ha'shidra, mikri nechla tiyomes upasal. That if the middle leaf is split all the way down to the spine, then that's called nechlaka tiyomes, and that's going to be possible. V'achi nog, and the Rama says, that's our minhag. Then, so that would be, okay, it would have to be split all the way down to the spine. That's pretty easy. Then he says, miu l'chachila mitzvah min amuvchar nog in lita lulav, shalon nechla ka'ala elyon klal, ki yesh machmir nafila b'nechla k'tzas. But our minhag is to be machmir, that even if the top leaf, the middle leaf, is split a little bit, that even that we're going to passel, because we're machmir even if it's nechla k'tzas. That's based on a Ran, Tezvav Amralav Bidape Arif, who writes, Umachmirin Od Lomar de Kol Shenechla Katiyom Afil B'miyut Pasal. The Rama says, Nechla Katiyomes is going to be Pasal. Of course, the question you have to ask yourself is if even a little bit of a split in the middle leaf is Pasal, then why is that? What's the difference between that and the Nestak? What's the case of Nestak that's Kasher? Right? Or, better put, or maybe differently put, what's the difference between that and kehimnik? Is that the same thing as kehimnik? That if it's just split a little bit at the top, that's what we call kehimnik? Hemnik means we thought that it's facing in different directions. So we're going to have to see, there are multiple shitos about what each of these things are. Halach lemaisa, there are several shitos of how much has to be cracked in order for it to be psul of nistak. Like we said, the shita saran is a mashahu, even a little bit, and the Rama seems to pass like the Ran. However, that's a shita of one Rishon, and it's the way the Rama understands that, and that's the way the Rama passes. However, the Taz, Sifkat and Dalit, quotes the Ran, and he says, I don't agree. He says, Akati tzarek levar, hai miut. Not that I don't agree, he says, I don't understand what the Ran means. Hai miut, shazachar aran lahamachmirin. Al karkach lav miut kol shu legamri kamar. He says, it can't mean just literally kol shu. Because if that were the case, even just like a fingernails amount would be a psul. And that's for sure not true, because the Gemara lists off three pegimos that would passel with the fingernails width, and it doesn't mention lulav amongst them. So the Taz says can't possibly mean a mashu. What must the Ran mean? He says the closest thing to a mashu is tefach. Oh, it's a huge difference. A mashu and a tefach are a huge difference. But Taz Paskins, he says, I think it's a tefach. quotes here the Sefer Kiryas Chana, that asks on the Taz, Tzaruch Iyun, because in the Trumas Adeshen, he quotes, that's quoted by the Taz himself, he says, that I saw Echad min Agdolim, that was Machshir Lulav, that the middle leaf was Kerochav Etzba, that was split like the amount of width of an Etzba. And he said it was okay. Now if the real Shir is a Tefach, what's the big Chiddush that you saw something that was Matir Ke Etzba? An Etzba is 25% of a Tefach, it's not even close. It's a quarter of a Tefach, right? So it must be, he says, that the psul is ke'etzba. Halach l'maisa, Aruch HaShulchan says, we're only machmir if it's nechlek rubo. And Mishmur says that the gra held that way as well. But the chadchila, better take a lulav that the top leaves are not split at all. That's what he says, halach l'maisa. There's an interesting discussion in the poskim. What if the middle leaf is split, but not at the top? It's split somewhere in the middle. And then it comes together again at the top. Okay, so that's very rarely happens. You're not going to find it. Meaning, you probably won't even look to find it. Because if it's not split at the top, you're never going
to
see it split at the bottom.
Is it rolled down to the sidra?
Yeah. Some lulavim have two tiyamases. They have two middle leaves. So, the sheet of the Gaonim is that if a lulav has two tiyamas, both of them need to be mechubar. And if one of them is, they need to be mechubar to each other. And if one of them is split from the other one, then it's like nechlika atiyamas. So if it has two leaves that reach the same height, the shitas agonim is, those two leaves need to be attached to each other. If they're split apart from each other, then it's no good. And the Bach says, the chachilu should be choshish for the shitas agonim. However, Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the shitas agonim. And that's why Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arba writes in Elichu Shlomo, we're Mekel, not like the Shittas of Gaonim. Yeah.
Well, two tiyamas would mean
two middle leaves. Right. So the Shittas of Gaonim is that the two middle leaves themselves need to be connected. We don't pass them that way. Rosh Hashanah Zalman says we don't have to be makbid about the two middle leaves being connected. Prima Gadim is Mesupak if you have two lulavim. Let's say you have two lulavim. One of them has one tiyamas and it's slightly split. Another one has two tiyomos that neither of them are split, but they're split from each other. So he says, which one should you buy? Those are the only two left in the store, says Prima Gadim. So Bukhari Yaakov says, what do you mean, which one should you buy? One of those things is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, the other one is not. For sure, he says, you should take the lulav with the two tiyomos that are not split at all, they're just separated from each other. Because Shita Zagonim isn't even mentioned on the page in Shulchan Aruch. Nechlek b'miktsas, the Ramah says, we're machmir about that. So what's the suffix? So maybe the reason the Prima Gadim has a suffix is just interesting. Levushe Sarad suggests that maybe the reason the Prima Gadim has a suffix is why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch mention the Shittas Agonim? Is it because he finds the Shittas Agonim so ridiculous that he's not going to ever think to Paskin that way? He says, no. The reason he doesn't mention the Shittas Agonim is because it never happens. It's so rare that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't think it was worth mentioning because it's so rare for it to happen. Ask a lot of kashas in Hilchos Talmidim if you think that he's not going to mention anything that's rare. But anyway, but that's if that's the assumption, so he holds the Shita Zagonim every bit as much as the Ramah holds the Shita that are called Shul. So then you understand why the Prima Gadim has a suffix about Nechlekat Yomas in that situation. That's Nechlekat Yomas. What about a Hemnik? So what's a Hemnik? So the Mechaber writes in Siv Zayin, Nistak. So again, nechlek atiyomus, halach l'maisa. Ramah says, if it's nechlek even a little bit, the middle leaf is split, even a little bit. What does split mean? Split means that it's visibly split. That you can look at it and see that there's light. To hold it up to light, you see there's light that comes through the middle of it. A lot of lulavim have that. If you go looking for lulavim, 20% of them are going to have a split in that way, where you can see the light going through it. A lot. I was looking here when they... You know, you place an order through the yeshiva to buy Dalad Minim. So they just give you whatever, you know, no one checks the Lulavim. They're Srogim, you know, they have A, B's, and C's. Lulavim is a big avla. It's very important to really know Lulavim, because they'll just give you whatever they have. So I was looking at the Lulavim that they sold people. I didn't find a single kosher one. Every single one was possible. Every single one was Nistak all the way down. Because it gets handled, it gets moved, it gets probably wasn't always nistak, but you know that's a very easy thing to happen. Also, that's another reason why we're trying to be makbid for that Ramah. Then not even to have a kol shu, because a good shake, and the kol shuv, whoop, goes straight down. It'll split straight down. So it's something that probably more than anything else you need to be careful about. Less so hemnik. Hemnik is easier to see. So you don't have to worry so much about hemnik, and hemnik is less likely to develop along the line. What is hemnik? So the Mechaber writes, Nistak im nisrachku shnei sadak of zemi zeh at sheniru kishnayim. That it's cracked in such a way where it doesn't even look like the same leaf. It's cracked in such a way that it looks like two different leaves. That's nistak. Now, the Rishonim already asked, the Ram, the Ritva, what's the difference between this and nechukat yomas? Nechukat yomas, we said, is pasul. Nistak is nistak kehemnik is pasul. What's the difference between the two? Nechukat yomas and nistak kehemnik. So, there are three shitos in Achronim to explain this. The Rama writes on the Mechaber, v'afilu lo nechukat yoma ha'al yona, be'inyon sheyifsal lulav mikoch nechukat yomas. The Rama says, oh, when the Mechaber says that psul himnik, that's even if it's not nechukat yomas. What does that mean? What's he trying to say? So the Taz explains that nechukat yomas is if the spine is also split. And it's nistak means that it's cracked, only the leaf is cracked. If the crack in the leaf is kehemnik, is so severe that it goes in different directions, that's possible. But nechukat yomas, meikra din, is only if it goes all the way down into the spine. That's how the Taz explains. Which is strange, because the Rama by nechukat yomas says we're machmir, even a kolshu of nechukat yomas is gonna passel. Right? Not gonna passel, but he says you shouldn't use. So we're machmir even a kolshu, but if it's kehemnik, then it's vaday no good. Magen Avraham says that nechukat yomas is only the leaves that are close to the top middle leaf. Meaning, nistak means the leaves that are found on the two sides of the middle leaf. If either of those are kehemnik, it's possible. That the psul himnik is not only in the middle leaf. The psul himnik is on the two leaves that flank the middle leaf also. So hemnik is going to be a problem, is more expansive than nechukat yomas, in the sense that hemnik is going to passel not only on the middle leaf, but also on the side leaves, where nechukat yomas is only going to passel on the middle leaf itself. That's how the Magen Avraham understands. Mishabura writes that the Gruz explanation is as follows, that when it's split, it's only going to passel when it's rover the way down. When it's kehemnik, it's even if it's just a mashu at the top that's kehemnik. Meaning, what does kehemnik look like? So he has over here, I think.
He has actual pictures of lulavim where you see clearly that it makes like a V. If it makes like a V at the top, now, again, the question is, is a V enough, or would it have to make like a, I don't know, what angle? Would a 45 degree angle be enough? 90 degree angle? 180 degrees? So what exactly? So probably 45 degree angle, even though we're machmir on, probably that's not really possible. That's probably not a real hemnik. He says over here that when it comes to a hemnik, there are two criteria for the psul of hemnik. Number one, the tiomas has to be divided. And number two, the separation has to create the impression of dual tips. And that problem can develop on the tree or it could develop later on, that it has it looks like dual tips. How wide does the gap have to be between the two tips? A discussion in the poskim. Some of the more makel poskim allow a very long split, meaning even if it goes a tefach down, it still wouldn't be a hemnik, even if it's a very obvious gap. The more machmir opinions, like the Mishnah Berurah says, that even a very minute separation is going to be possible. So, l'chadchila, we tend to try to be machmir like the Mishnah Berurah. So, but even according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you look at a lulav and you can't see immediately the split at the top, it's not a hemnik. Hemnik has to be that it's very obvious, really. It's really severely separated from each other. If you don't see that right away, then that's never going to be a hemnik. And you have to realize the Mishnah Berurah itself is a chumrah in terms of to say that it's that a mashahu is going to be a problem.
Okay. Anything else that I wanted to do on Hemnik? Yeah, he just points out what I told you before, that nistak is something that affects 20% of all lulavim. So it is something that you should be very careful about, because that is one of the more common things, and that's 20% of lulavim straight out of the box. But later on, it is more likely to happen even more later on. Now, if let's say the top, a lot of times you'll find that the top of the lulav, the tip of the lulav is brown or black. It was like sunburned. That is not a problem. It might be psalm. It might be a chisaron in hidur, but it's not a psul in any way of the lulav. It's not a psul in any way of the lulav. Now the Gemara had also mentioned a lulav that's kafuf, that's bent over, a bent over lulav. So the Gemara says in Lamed Aleph and Beis, right? The Gemara said lulav kafuf, that a lulav that's kafuf is one of the things that's mentioned as a psul. Machlokas Rishonim, what kafuf means. Shitas Rashi, and the Ritva is that the leaves are bent over. However, the Rush quotes from the Ran, and he says, Lo mistavili, she'ein lahosif al psul m'shamanu chachamim, u'kfifas ma'at lo mikri kfifa, kivin de kulo zakuf. Says if everything else is straight up and there's just a little bend at the end of the leaves, that's not kafuf. Raksha alav elyonim kafufim ad lo mikri kafuf va'ani ohev yoser latseispo. Says the Rush, the name of the Ran. Not only if the top of the leaves are bent over a little bit, is it not a psul? I love those lulavim. Now, why does he love those lulavim? Lufi she'ein ha'alim nechlakim etiyomaso kayemis. Because it's very hard for the tiyomis to become split when it's totally bent over. Understand, if it's completely bent over, it's not going to easily split down the middle, because the split would have to go over also. So he says they almost never split. So those lulavim are awesome. The Meiri quotes Chachmei Navrona that preferred a lulav that was nichfu alav, but he writes not because of the Rush's reason that it's not going to split, but rather because it's not going to get chopped at the top as easily. It's a much thicker top. So niktam rosho is going to be less of a concern. So basically, you're in a quandary when it comes to these lulavim. When it comes to, and these you see all the time, where the tip of the lulav is bent over. On the one hand, it's worse because, according to Shitas Rashi, that's kafuf. That's the psul of kafuf that the Gemara was talking about. On the other hand, it saves you from so many other psulim. You don't have to chesh, you don't have to worry about nechlakat yomis anymore. You don't have to worry about nistak. You don't have to worry about niktam rosho. It's going to save you from everything else. So what do we paskin? So the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Rush, that kafuf is only if the shidra itself, if the spine itself is kafuf. If the spine is not kafuf, it's not a problem. If kafuf, the leaves are just kafuf a little bit at the top, it's not a problem. Typically speaking, when it comes to, and this is what we call a knepel, right? When it's bent over at the top. Typically speaking, when it comes to kneplach, because some Rishonim preferred it, so many Chassidim prefer a lulav with a knepel. They say, we paskin that way anyway. Rishonim say how much they loved it, so we love it too. And it's not going to, and it saves you all the other problems of psulim. It's also much stickier, so it's cooler. But the Mishnah Brura doesn't recommend it. Mishnah Brura says you shouldn't have. And that's why most yeshivish guys try to avoid a knep. So Hasidim try it. So, you know, when you go buy a lulav, the guy will tell you, you want it with a knep or without a knep. So now at least you know why he's asking you if you want with a knep or without a knep. You want to know if you want to be machmir for Shitas Rashi, or you want to say that I'd rather not risk the other psulim. Some won't use, and then there's some people that are like somewhere down the middle. Mishnah Brura writes to Kut Mem that they won't use something that's a severe knepel, but a slight little hook at the top they will use. Okay, that quite means sometimes it points over, sometimes it points all the way down. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes the leaf just goes over a little bit, sometimes the leaf goes all the way down. So some people say, okay, if it just goes over a little bit, that's okay. But if it goes all the way down, then that's kafuf, and that they're not going to accept. in terms of what Poskim did, so in the Sefer he quotes that from the Orchos Rabbeinu Chelik Beis Pedresh Lamed Aleph that the stipler was knowing every year to take two lulavim, one with a straight tip and one with a knepel, and he just didn't make a bracha on the one with the knepel, but he would take two lulavim every day. I don't think that's something that you have to be machmir about, to go and take two lulavim. We pass him. The stipler was a big chassid in terms of his zehirus and mitzvahs. He was machmir for every shita imaginable in so many different areas, because he was a stipler. He had a right to do that. I think that would be squarely in the camp of Yuhara if we went and we tried to do that. I think that would be a serious problem for us to do. So we should just know whatever our family tradition is. If we have family tradition one way or the other, so we should follow the family tradition. If we don't have a family tradition, so fine. So then, you know, decide which one you prefer. Now, what's Akum? What's Akum? So the Mechaber writes in Tafresh Mem Hei Siv Ches, Lulav Sha'akum Lefanav Sheshidro Kigav Bal Chatoteres Pasol. A lulav whose spine is bent forward or sideways is kasher, but if it's bent backward, I'm sorry, it's pasul, but if it's bent backwards, it's kasher, because that's just the way it grows, that it's bent backwards. Now you will see when you go buy lulavim, a lot of times you'll see a person will take a lulav, and if it's a tile floor, will put the lulav down on the floor running along the line between the tiles to see if it's exactly straight. Or sometimes you'll see that they'll hold it like this. That those guys don't know what they're doing. They're just trying to look cool. But you know that what ostensibly what people are trying to do is they're trying to see if there's any sort of bend in the lulav. Now, Radvaz and the Kapas Tamarim write that a lulav that's nisakim klape panav and then is this yasher at the well, let's leave this out. Let's just say it like this, because this is really not halachah l'maisa. When it comes to a bend in a lulav, none of the lulavim you will ever see in a store are pasul, are bent enough to be pasul. Again, if it's bent in the direction of the person holding it, right? You're holding the shidra, that would be kosher anyway. If it's very bent in the direction of the person, let's say if you're holding it like this, it's poking you in the eye. Right, so then that would still be kosher, not so mehudar. That would be a little too weird to be mehudar. If when you're holding it like this, it's poking someone else in the eye, right? It's bent the other way, so then it's pasul. Or if it's bent that way, then it's going to be pasul. But if it's bent toward you, the shidra bent toward you, that would still be kosher. Why is it that you're never going to find a bent lulav in one that's bent enough to be pasul when you go shopping for lulavim? Very simple reason. It won't fit in the box, exactly. If it's so bent, the box is a narrow box, narrow enough box, that if it was so bent, it just wouldn't fit in the box. So they wouldn't, you'd never end up with it. Yeah?
So what if they, leaned over because
it's not,
the slightest
element,
but like if you're holding it loosely, sort of like
it. It's a looser kind of lulav. Yeah, so there are poskim that recommend best not to do that, but not because of that, but because they're afraid that if it's so loose that it's gonna split the leaf eventually. But in terms of the bend, it doesn't seem to really. And also the bend, it's only a psul. It's not a psul in the leaves. We paskin being bent is only a psul in the shidra itself. So very often when you do that, if it's leaning over, it's just the leaves that are leaning over. It's not the shidra that's leaning over. So you have to focus when you look on the shidra. Sometimes if it's a straight spine, it could look like it's bent. For a variety of reasons, your eyes play tricks on you. It might look like it's bent because there are more leaves on one side than there are on the other side. As long as there are leaves on both sides, it's kosher. You don't need it to have the same amount of leaves. But if there are more leaves on one side, so it looks a little off. So it might look like it's bent in that situation. You have to look only at the spine to see if it's very bent. A very thin lulav can lean to the side when you hold it up and appear to be bent, but usually it's not really bent. Again, it's very, very rare that you're going to find a lulav that actually has a bent shedra, a bent spine. That almost never happens. Now, any other major... so a couple of other major things in terms of a lulav. Chad hutza, we said, our Gemara said, that if it's salak b'chad hutza, it's a balmum and it's pasul. So in terms of chad hutza, it means that the center leaf. Well, Rashi over here said chad hutza means shenekam. I'm sorry. What did Rashi say? Shekol olav mitzad echad. Rashi said it means that all the leaves are on one side. But that's not agreed upon by all Rishonim, that that's what Chadhutza means. Let me see if I can just find my quotes over here. So Rashi, right. The Rambam writes, in Parakhes of Hilchos Lulav, the Rambam writes the psul in the following way. Hayu olav achas achas mitchilas briyaso v'lo hayu lehem tiyomes pasul. The Rambam says Chad Hutza does not mean that all the leaves are on one side and no leaves on the other side. Chad Hutza means that the leaves aren't double leaves for some reason. That the leaves that are growing are straight leaves. The Rush quotes another pshat from Rav Sar Shalom, who says in a tshuva, "Lulava desalik b'chad hutza shehutza echad biikaro, va'ola oso chad hutza meikaro v'ad rosh hashidra." That it doesn't have many leaves coming out of the spine; it's one leaf that comes out of the spine, which is extremely weird, right? All of our lulavim have like a whole bunch of leaves coming up beyond the spine, but there's only one leaf coming beyond the spine. That's how the Rush quotes. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch writes, Tafresh Mem Hei Sif Gimel, as follows. Hayu olav achas achas mitchilas briyaso, v'lo haya tiyomes. O shekal olav kfula mitzido ha'echad, v'tzad ha'sheni orum below olim pasal. Basically, Rambam and Rashi are both correct. Both would qualify as Chad Hutza, and both are therefore going to be pasal. Now, the Rama adds, "V'im oso ha'ala eno kafel mitchilas briyaso, pasul." If it comes to a one leaf, the one middle leaf, and it's that middle leaf that's not kafel mitchilas briyaso, that's what's going to be pasul. Why is Chad Hutza pasul? So the Shulchan Aruch Harav writes that it's psul of hadar. Chayyadim Mishbur say in the name of the Ritva, it's a psul migufo. It's not a psul of hadar. It's a regular psul that's going to be pasul called shiva, which is just it's just not a shame lulav. That if it's chad hutza, it loses its status as a lulav. It's going to be completely pasul. It's not just a din in hadar. Good. Now, a lulav that seems to be a single unfolded leaf very often is a chad hutza. Or, more often, what it actually is, if it seems like it has one single unfolded leaf, usually what it is it used to be a double leaf and it was just nechka tiyomes all the way down. So therefore it only looks like one leaf. It's not always easy to tell if it's chad hutza or not, because a lot of times there's the brown stuff on it, and you can't see if it's a doubled over leaf or not. But if the middle leaf looks unusually thin, looks unhealthily thin, so very often you have to look very carefully to see if it's chad hutza or not. What we would not recommend doing in general when it comes to looking at lulavim is pulling apart leaves to see. Because very often when you pull apart leaves, you end up passing the lulav. So you're pulling apart a leaf here, a leaf there, you can end up with the two side leaves looking like a hemnik, which could be a psul. You can end up splitting one of the leaves when you try to mush it a little bit to see if it's a doubled up leaf. He says over here that some people will take a pin and put it in the back of the leaf and see if the pin fits in the middle of the back of the leaf, and we'll see if it comes apart a little bit to see if it's actually a double leaf or not a double leaf. He says, but 95% of the time that you try to do that, you're going to pass a little lulav. So first buy it and then do that, because otherwise you're stealing the lulav from the guy. You're damaging the lulav of the guy who owns the store. So anyway, again, just something to be aware of. Usually it's not a chad hutza issue anyway. Usually it's a nechlat yamas issue, but the middle leaf should look good, gezunt, thick. It should look like it's a double leaf. If it doesn't look like it's a double leaf, it's very likely a chad hutza problem. Just to mention a couple of other things in terms of buying lulavim, since we're not going to have time to go through all the Rishonim and all the Gemara. So there is a psul of a dry lulav. A dry lulav is the Gemara defines, or the Rishonim define, as a lulav that's so dry that it's completely white, and it crumbles when you touch it. Right? We saw this at the beginning of the parable, the Tosfos there, that it's so dry, it's so yavesh, that when you touch it, it already begins to crumble. And it's completely white. We pointed out in the past, David Feinstein told the author of this book that his father, Moshe, when he was in Russia, made a bracha on the same lulav for 8 straight years. Very likely that Moshe, if he made a bracha and it did not hold that it had a din of a lulav yavesh, which is possible, he held its kosher. So obviously our shir, the lulavim that we see, that we get, we're all picked this year. is usually weeks before we get them. So the chances of it being dry by the time we get them are nil. You're never going to see a dry lulav. Sometimes you look at a lulav and the top leaves look white. The top leaves taka look white. Very often it's an optical illusion. The leaves look white in comparison to the green leaves that are on the bottom of the lulav. But if you were to actually isolate them, you'll see that they're actually yellowish and they're not white. And yellow is not a psul of yavesh. Only if it's white is it a psul of yavesh. He points out over here, if you use a magnifying glass, it's likely to work against you when you use a magnifying glass. Because if you use a magnifying glass, it will enlarge the area and dissipate the color a little bit. You can appreciate color when you look from a distance a lot more. It's like looking at the ocean, you know? If you take a cup of water, take it out of the ocean, it looks clear, but you look at the ocean from a distance and you see the beauty of the color. Yeah.
And how much has to be white?
I think it's only no. I think even just the leaves on the top. The shidra could be green even. I think it's just the top leaves that are white.
Touch those,
that they would begin to crumble. Again, doesn't really happen. Both of these svarim quote from a sefer Chaim Ubracha Hilchos Esrog, who goes through a checklist of 8 things to look for when you buy a lulav to get the most hadar lulav, to get the most beautiful lulav possible. Number one, he says that you want lach v'yorok mirosh l'sofo. Ideally, if you want the most hadar lulav, it should be moist and green from tip to tip, right? Both the spine and the leaves, without any sort of dryness whatsoever. However, the most critical point is that the Rosh HaTiyomah shouldn't be dry. The very tip of the lulav shouldn't be dry. That's the most ikker, but really, ideally, if you can get the whole thing green, that would be the best. Number two, he says, it should look nice. It should look straight. It should look like a healthy lulav. It shouldn't look like a sickly lulav if you're looking for hadar. Number three, he says, that nothing should be cut from the top of the tiyomah whatsoever. Even though we may paskin, not necessarily like the Ramah always or whatever, still, ideally, you want hadar, you should avoid anything that's cut anywhere near the top. Number four, he says, shleyin nistak v'nechlek klal ha'ela elyonem sayishab rosh shidra af mashu. The top middle leaf shouldn't even have a slight crack, shouldn't even have anything. Any slight crack, you should already raise concerns. Not either, both in that it's not beautiful right now with a slight crack, and more likely the problem that it's going to lead to a much larger crack, which is then going to possibly lulav. Number five, he says, the leaves shouldn't be separated from each other too much. It should be when you hold it up. If you hold it a little straight, you shouldn't have leaves flying all over the place. When you shake it, the leaves should shake a little bit, but not that the leaves, when you just hold it straight, are flying all over the place. That's ideal, because if they're separated too much, then they're going to become then it's likely to cause problems in terms of the shape of the lulav. If when you shake it, it should shake, because it's machlokes rishonim whether shaking means, we'll discuss this one time, waving or shaking. If it means shaking and not just waving, so the leaves are supposed to rustle a little bit, they're supposed to shake. So if you have like a stick lulav that doesn't shake at all, that's not ideal. It's not possible, it's not ideal. Sixth, that it shouldn't have any chashash morkov whatsoever. It should be clearly in the lulav family. It shouldn't be mixed in with any other, which we just have to trust. Seven, that it shouldn't have grown in an atzitz she'eino nakov. It shouldn't have grown in a flower pot. Unlikely to happen. It should grow on a regular tree growing from the ground. And 80 says, Yahadar achar lulav shekala be'emtsa lemala b'chad tiyomes. That you should try to find one that has one leaf at the top, one double leaf at the top. Not the lulav that have two equal double leaves at the top. Mitzvah min amuvchar, because we should be choshesh for the shita saga'onim, not to take a lulav that has two tiyomos that are not connected to each other. So we should, again, if you're looking for the most hadar lulav, that's the 8-point checklist. Mirtz Hashem, next week, tomorrow Rabbi Levin's going to be here. Next week, maybe we'll be able to start discussing dichoy etzel mitzvos. Very interesting subject coming up.